Welcome back, everybody, and thank you for staying tuned here on CGLO 1690 AM. You're back here with Working Title with me and Cleo, and I was about to talk about Pink Lemonade. So, Cleo, are you a fan of Pink Lemonade? Do you like lemonade?
I love lemonade, yeah. I feel like, does anybody not like lemonade?
That's true. I feel like if you don't like lemons, you may not like lemonade, but, you know, lemonade can be made, I feel like, so tartly and so sweetly. You know, that it really depends on like what, because I've had lemonade I don't like, you know, but I feel like that was specifically the lemonade.
Yeah. You know? I feel like lemonade inherently is just delightful. Like it's a hot summer day, you get lemonade, but sometimes if it's made like excessive, like so much sugar and it's really sweet, I do find it a little off-putting. Yeah. I prefer a tartar lemonade, but altogether it's beautiful.
I like a good sour lemonade. I agree.
Yeah. I was walking the other day and came across two kids who were like on the corner block away from me doing a lemonade stand, and I was it makes me so happy that people still do this. Cute.
Oh my god, no, like literally my mom's house back in LA is like a prime spot for a lemonade stand, to the point where, like, you know, she has no kids anymore in the house that will make a lemonade stand, but she has friends who will come and use her front yard as because it's prime real estate, walking That's traffic so near the beach. Oh. Like, it's like, yeah, it's pretty That's funny.
Amazing.
I know.
I would love that to be my legacy when I get older. It's like the best spot for a lemonade stand.
Literally, though. And so my mom's got that feather in her cap and she's been, you know, celebrating it ever since. But yeah, so lemonade, it's funny. So lemonade, it began to appear in the US around the 17th century, like North America, the 17th century, when European immigrants started coming over, obviously. But there's no record that they can really find of, like, you know, before. So it's not like they couldn't find it, like, they couldn't find the traditional recipes so much so, like, yeah, in England and other parts of Europe. But for whatever reason, you know, people showed up and they knew how to make lemonade. So whether they figured it out there in the colonies or, I guess, like on the ship, you know, over, nobody really knows. But the recipes started turning up around them.
Okay.
And so then we're going to fast forward a little bit to the 19th century in the US when this is when circuses really started to kind of take off.
Nice.
And so I don't know if you knew this, but, like, you know, circuses back in the day were more kind of like our fairs that we have now.
Yes.
It was like one big kind of event. It was, they had the big top with, you know, there was a main event going on, but they also had, you know, like the fair outside where they would have.
Yeah. All sorts. It was like the circus came to town, like the fair came to town, and absolutely.
And so, yeah, so they would have all sorts of events, they'd have all sorts of food, and one of the things that circuses were famous for serving were, you know, lemonade. They'd have these big homemade lemonade stands, you know, on the hot summer days, and it was always a big sell, you know, because they would be selling the alcohol, but, you know, all the kids wanted lemonade, right? And so, you know, this is when we start to get to the point where our story kind of diverges, where there's two origins here for Pink Lemonade. Okay. And you know, there was two books. There's one, like I said, there was one a little bit less gross than the other. But the first, what's it called? The first one was by an author named Joss Chetwynd. And after we play these two songs, after we play this next song, I'm going to continue talking about this story. But yeah, Josh, I'm going to pronounce this correctly. I'm sorry. So it's Chetwynd, like Chetwynd. So Josh Chetwynd apparently wrote a New York Times book called The Hot Dog, How the Hot Dog Got Its Bun, and Accidental Discoveries and Unexpected Inspirations That Shape What We Eat and Drink.
Okay.
And so that's where the first origin was. And then the second one was from a book written by a guy named Harvey W. Root in 1921 called The Ways of the Circus. you know, so
nice. So both preferable to the second book, although the first one sounds great.
Both of them sound fantastic, you know, but it, you know, it's, we'll get to the stories and you can decide for yourself what you want, what you think the real one is. But so, without further ado, the next song I'm going to play, and I want to pronounce this correctly. I think it's called Ye Ye You or Wei Wei You. And it's another song by The Who. So another Mongolian metal song for you guys. If you love the first one, don't worry. I have another one today that I'm going to play by them. Seriously, I have an excuse to play this band. I'm going to play them. They're awesome. And I want to give them all of the recognition they deserve.
They're very cool.
Yeah, so they here we go.
So aesthetically pleasing.
Oh my god, they look so cool. Their instruments are so cool. Like they're just watch the music videos, guys. Seriously. But yeah, so here we go. We got The Who, and we'll be right back with some more Pink Lemonade talk.
No.
Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome back. That was Just the Who here on CGLO 1690 AM, a Mongolian metal band, which you should absolutely check out in honor of our One World event happening this weekend here at CGLO. Saturday, July 31st, we're going to be celebrating music from all around the world. And so, yeah, so Cleo, Pink Lemonade.
Yes.
We were just at our little split, our story. So we have a Harvey W. Root story, and then we have Josh Chetwynd. So the first things first, Josh Chetwynd's story is pretty interesting. So he discovered, like, he was the one that actually discovered these two origin stories of of these. So sorry, I meant to say Harvey W. Root is the book that he's going to reference later.
Okay.
So the first origin story is in 1912 New York. He had a this is the second story. I confused them. I mixed them up. Sorry. So the first one was in 1857. All right. So this guy, Harvey W. Root, was writing a book, The Ways of the Circus, being the memories and adventures of George Conklin, Tamer of Lions. And so Root's main subject was a guy named George Conklin. And he and his brother ran a circus, his brother Peter. So Peter Conklin, according to this book, came up with Pink Lemonade in 1857 while he was selling lemonade at the circus. And so the story goes, he ran out of water and he was thinking on the fly. He grabbed a tub of dirty water, which a performer was wringing out her pink colored tights in. And apparently it wasn't like dirty, like soaking. It was like she had just been using it to soak her tights.
Yeah. Okay.
And so she was wringing out her pink colored tights, whatever. And, you know, according to the book, in true circus form, Conklin didn't miss a beat. He started marketing this drink. When he poured the water in, it turned the lemonade pink.
Yeah.
And so he marketed it as strawberry lemonade, and he apparently sales doubled. And since that moment, according to Root's book, the no circus was ever like without pink lemonade after it became popular. It became like a staple. Like you went to the circus, pink lemonade was there. That's where you got it. And so the second one kind of comes, it's a bit, so that's the grosser story.
Yes.
so the second one's a bit more tame, so Henry E. Alcott, it's basically a New York Times obituary was what claimed this Chicago man. He was a teenager that ran away to join the circus. It credits him with inventing pink lemonade.
Okay.
Yeah. And this is,
we really need something to put in here.
Exactly. Like, exactly. This guy made pink lemonade. Like it was his obituary. Like he was dead, you know, like so they put in, and according to his story, Alcott accidentally dropped some red cinnamon candies into a big batch of regular lemonade and it turned the beverage pink. And so presumably not wanting to waste it, he sold the drink to circus goers. And so that's like, you know, and then after this had kind of like gone on, you know, you see throughout the 19th century, like from 1879 to in like 1892, you see stuff like Kellogg's, like acknowledging, you know, like their own like pink lemonade recipe, like as part of the circus, you know, and, you know, and there's articles that were written about, you know, pink lemonade and the circus. And so whereas nobody really knows kind of where pink lemonade came from, we know that we can figure out that the circus is where it was invented. That's the accepted theory right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's pretty interesting. I never knew about pink lemonade. In that sense.
I'm completely baffled by both explanations have absolutely nothing to do with pink lemon.
I know. It's literally just like, how can we explain how lemonade turned pink?
Yeah.
And these are two vaguely plausible theories that nobody really knows the answer to. And it's something that we all drink, we all love, we all just accept. I think it's so funny, you know?
Absolutely. That's hilarious. Also, I feel like that guy, like the girl wringing her tights out is very like that girl, that like gamer girl that like sold her bathwater.
The OG pink lemonade is the OG bathwater.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. That's wow. so funny.
Yeah, absolutely. There you go. I feel like the circus is probably responsible for many things that
after the break, I'm actually going to my bonus fact, because I felt like this story was a bit short to do a whole episode about. My bonus fact is another thing that happened because of the circus. And I think it's you might actually particularly enjoy it, being an English major, as it's a language thing. It's something happened at the circus and it has now become part of our language. Like the word it doesn't even mean what it originally meant anymore. It's just
Oh, that's so exciting. I love those things.
Yeah, exactly. And so after the break, or actually not even after the break, we're gonna play two songs for you guys, actually both from Egyptian metal bands. We got Amana by the band Zaire. We got Alan Wal Salan by Alcazar. And so, we got basically, I was doing a deep dive on some metal all around the world this morning. And I found these guys, they sounded sick and I can't wait to show them off to you guys too. Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, so don't touch that dial now. You're sitting here listening to CGLO 1690 AM.
هيلا هيلا مرحبا. هجرنا الأحباب الخوض والأصحاب بنطينا الخير في غيرهم موجود. هربت العقول لتلت الكتاب كتير منا اليوم في الدنيا مفقود.
Yo, 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 and welcome back to Working Title. That was just Amana by Zaire and Alwal Salon by Alcazar. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. Some Egyptian metal is always something that I find lacking. You know, and how I found those guys was, you know, the only metal band I really like loved and listened to a ton that was from the Middle East was System of a Down. You know, I'm pretty sure they're Tunisian. Am I correct when I say that? I have no idea, actually.
I don't know. We both furiously start typing.
Yeah.
Armenian American.
Armenian. See, I'm wrong. They're from Armenia.
I did not know that.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, System of a Down was like the only band I really could say that I feel that I knew off the top of my head from the Middle East that I listened to a ton. So I was like really happy that, you know, I had the excuse to do this deep dive and run around and try and find some. After our pink lemonade story, my last little tidbit about the circus. Did you know the word jumbo? Okay. The word jumbo originally is the Swahili word for chief.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
So it was the Swahili word for chief. And guess who decided to name his big elephant, his big African elephant, Jumbo, when his circus came to town? And it was none other than P.T. Barnum. And so P.T. Barnum, you know, the greatest showman, Hugh Jackman now, as some of you know. Yeah, exactly. Like that.
Okay.
He's also the one, I don't know if this is true or not, he's also the famous like circus ringleader who's like credited saying there's a sucker born every minute.
Oh wow.
Yeah, exactly. And so that one, they don't know if it's true, but he's credited in saying that, right? Mm. So he was apparently, you know, he's known for being like, he modernized the circus in the US, but he's known for kind of being a bit of a sleazeball.
Yes.
But musicals like The Greatest Showman have kind of altered this image that people have of him now. So nobody really knows if he was a jerk or if we should like him. But
okay, wow.
But yeah, so the name Jumbo the elephant.
Mm-hmm.
They traveled around, you know, so much, and that his name became synonymous with large in size.
Wow.
And literally to this day, we are using words like jumbo jet, jumbo shrimp, jumbotron, you know?
Yeah. And jumbo everything.
Exactly.
Supersize me. That's crazy.
Yeah. And so I thought this was a funny story. This was another, it's nice. Like I was able, you know, the pink lemonade, I don't think was long enough to do its own story. This jumbo story, I don't think was long enough to do its own thing. But I thought that was super interesting when I was digging it. Like the word jumbo became part of the English language because, like, you know, an elephant.
it's the same with a phrase that I love and I use very often is like close but no cigar.
Oh yeah,
which is speculated to come from carnivals giving out cigars as prizes on their games.
Oh, really?
So if you lost, it was close but no cigar.
That's so funny. I didn't know that. Oh my God. I guess I got to do a whole episode of like, what have carnivals and circuses done for pop culture?
What have they given us? So many things. We were just talking about this the other day. I love a good carnival, love a good fair, amusement rides, like going on the zipper and Ferris wheels and everything like that. It's so whimsical and fun.
Oh, absolutely. No, like a good fair is awesome. Like I miss like going to the LA County Fair and getting like a deep fried everything, you know?
Yeah.
Like they had, oh man. Or just like, I hope I'm pronouncing this right. I'm so sorry for any of my Latinx listeners, but elote, I think is what it's called.
I think it's elote.
Yeah.
The corn.
Yeah. The corn. Oh my God. There was whole stations set up in California. And so for those of you that don't know what elote is, it's basically Mexican corn. And it's, you know, the same way, you know, they'll prepare corn here in Quebec, like, you know, they'll grill it, they'll steam it, but it's usually grilled. And then it's covered in it's like a pink sauce with like cilantro and stuff in it. That's like tangy. And then they pour like, they have this cheese on it. That's like crumbly. It's almost like feta, but it's not feta. And then to top it off, they like covered it in that red spice, you know, that they always, that like powder. That is always on like tortillas and other like like Mexican dishes. It is unreal. It's the best way to eat corn. Like,
yes.
My God. It
definitely would be.
It is so good. I literally could not eat anything else at the fair. Just eat that the whole time and I would be happy.
Nice.
You know, yeah. It's so good.
Yeah. Our fairs are a little bit more like, my fairs were the Bridgewater Exhibition. Bridgewater, Nova Scotia, where there's like a bunch of farm animals that you go and pet, and you can maybe get like cinnamon donuts and like a burger or something, but it's very, but the rides were fun. The rides were fun.
Well, it's like, I always joked, like, I mean, well, Freddie, you know, she always told me like how here in Quebec, they had at like events or like the fair, you know, they would have like petting zoos. You'd get to go to like, you know, they'd be on like a dairy farm or like a Quebec farm. And she said like, one of the things that, you know, she would be so excited to see as a kid. And she's like laughing, cause I'd never heard of this before in my life. And she never realized this wasn't normal until I pointed it out, but they had like cows where they put like a hole in them
like, and that's the only way I can describe it. It's like they almost put like a porthole in the cow so you could see inside the cow from the outside.
What?
I am 100% serious. Imagine like a picture of a boat, picture a porthole on the side of a boat, right? And then just slap that sucker on the side of a cow.
I'm so shocked right now.
I am 100% serious. This is a Quebec attraction.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know if they still do it, but according to her, this was something that like used to happen quite a bit at like fairs.
News article, yeah. June 21st, 2019. Why are portholes being used on the cows?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God.
No, it's like Freddie would always joke, be like, come to Quebec. We have cow with hole.
That's insane. I feel like there's got to be, I don't want to.
Like, I think it's for like vet students. I think it's supposed to be, like they do it. Like, cause I know in Quebec, like, they have a lot of like animal health will go out to the farms and like do like stuff, but yeah, it's just so funny. I mean, like, I guess, yeah, what do you do with the cow after you've done that, right? You just, well, I guess we can pay people to charge people to look how to look,
I guess. Yeah, wow,
you know, wild, absolutely wild, eh?
That is unreal.
Yeah,
I would never have known that.
I know.
You did not just tell me right now.
I know
now.
Exactly. I can make a whole episode about that. Cow with hole.
Poor cows. Yeah. Oh my God.
Exactly. But it's so funny. But yeah. So, thank you for listening to my story about pink lemonade and Jumbo the elephant, Cleo.
Yeah. Thank you for educating me on the fun origins of pink lemonade.
I know. Like, it's one of those things, you know, it's like, I think it's funny where it's like one of those things that everybody knows, but they didn't really, you know, I can't say I've ever asked about it. Right.
Yes. To be fair, I feel like that's our specialty, is things that you never really cared enough about to look into the origins of.
Yeah. But here we are. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It might save you in trivia sometime.
Yeah. Very true.
I think if it came down to it, I think if trivia said, you know, who invented pink lemonade, Henry E. Alcott is the one to go because he does have the obituary.
Yeah, exactly.
I think
that guy was just like, I need something to be known for. And you put
maybe he just made really good pink lemonade and somebody was like, I'm gonna credit him.
He's with the guy. The yeah. He made it up. Like, I feel like that's like, yeah, like when someone has like a dish or something that's like not really, like they got the recipe from someone that they know, but they're like, oh, I made it up, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this is my invention.
Well, it's the same thing. Like they, you know, the Caesar salad is from like, it's from Southern California.
Huh.
Like, it's like, it was some Latino guy named Caesar who made it. That's what I think is so funny. Like, I feel like so many people, it was like his salad at his restaurant, and restaurant's called Caesar's.
Yeah.
And I think it's so funny that, you know, like, I mean, this could just be me, but like, I feel like people always associated Caesar salad with like Rome, right? That's the only other word we would see. Not saying like there was a Roman Caesar eating a Caesar salad. I just always thought that was what it was referencing. Right.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, oh, this is, I guess the chicken and the fixins of this salad were for royalty. That was always my guess, but I guess that was not the case when I looked it up. And I feel like there's stuff like that all the time, you know?
Yeah. It's very, what an incredible salad though. Yeah. It's the salad when you don't actually want salad.
Yeah. Like, right. Exactly.
I'm not being healthy, but this tastes delicious.
Oh man. I'm always a good fan of a Cobb salad, but it's cause I'm a blue cheese monster.
I love blue cheese.
Yeah, I love blue cheese so much. I always quote the Snow Dogs movie. I bet you can't eat as much blue cheese as I can. There's a whole plot point in that movie where the guy is like dedicating himself to be the... No, seriously, that's the reason I tried blue cheese, was that movie. Because that guy is so... it's so funny.
Such
that
a guy, memory for like specific quotes from the most obscure things.
Cleo, I wish my memory helped me this much in university. It did not.
Snow Dogs with Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah, Snow Dogs of 2003.
Yeah, 25% on Rotten Tomatoes. Oh my god, crushing it.
No, that movie is a gem. It's about a dentist in Florida who moves to Alaska because he like had like a cabin or something like left to him. Like
yeah,
like
we family. Had it on VHS. Yeah. I remember.
Yeah.
But it's not funny. The blue cheese.
Oh my god, no, that's it. He moves there to Alaska. Like he's arguing with some guy about blue cheese. Mm-hmm. And he walks up to him and he grabs the blue cheese out of his hand. He goes, I bet you can't eat as much blue cheese as I can. It starts stuffing his face.
Oh man, I feel like your whole life you're just waiting to be able to recreate that moment.
I know. <It's> like... Oh my god. Wow. And on that note, we're gonna hit you guys with an ad break before we come back for our little sign off. And yeah, thanks for listening to the show, guys. It's been a good time. So don't touch that dial. You're here on CGLO 1690 AM. And you're listening to Working Title.